She's got it. She doesn't have it over the ear. She's just got it.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
No, it's right here. Can you hear me? I'm going home. Can you hear me? Okay. Okay. All right. Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful, beautiful day. I'm so glad to be here worshiping with you. Debbie and Mike are having a wonderful weekend away, and so that's where she is today. We have a few announcements in your bulletin. Please look over the prayer requests and make sure that you are praying for them during the week. And then next Sunday is a big day. We will have the dedication of the labyrinth at 10:30, a small little service out there, because from what I heard, some of the Boy Scouts have redone it, and so that'll be first thing. And then the third grade children will be presented with Bibles during worship, so that's very special. And Holden will be recognized with a church scholarship for graduating from high school. And then, which does not seem possible to me. I'm just going to say that. It just does not seem possible. Also, afterwards, it's our annual picnic. So the women of the church are supplying a cake. The church is supplying fried chicken and sides. So come hungry, and you get to dress casually that day because we will be outside. So that will be a lot of fun. I want to welcome Dr. Templeman back to our service. We're so happy to have her today.
Please join us in the call to worship. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He knows and we belong to him. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He speaks and we listen for his voice. May the peace of Christ be with you. Join me in the prayer for adoration. God of grace, you have made our minds. Help us to know you. You have made our hearts, so help us to love you. You have made our voices, so help us to sing your praise. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so together we may celebrate your glory and worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now, if you are able, please stand, and we're going to be singing number 171, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
The one who calls us to repent hears us and trusts that our Creator knows us through and through. Let us open our hearts to the healing of God's forgiveness. Join us in the prayer of confession. Good and gracious God, we are creatures of dust, ignorant of your revelation, misunderstanding your life, death, and resurrection among us, needing forgiveness. We repent of our failure to give as you have given to us. We beg your mercy for our fallen world. We seek your word that we may live with the faith of Jesus. Be our solace in this life and always. We ask this as your own children, holy and incomplete. Forgive us and lead us. Amen. Hear the good news. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your plea for absolution has been heard. God's promises are sure. Your sins have been forgotten. Peace be with you. Amen. Our Psalter lesson this morning is Psalm 23. And because there are some scriptures that we know so well that sometimes some of the essence slips by us, I have selected the Psalm 23rd of the Native American version this morning. Hear the word. The great father above a shepherd chief is, I am his, and with him I want not. He throws out to me a rope, and the name of the rope is love. And he draws me to where the grass is green, and the water is not dangerous. And I eat and lie down and am satisfied. Sometimes my heart is very weak and falls down, but he lifts me up again and draws me into a good road. His name is Wonderful. Sometimes, it may be very soon, it may be a very long time, he will draw me into a valley. It is dark there, but I'll be afraid not, for it is between those mountains that the shepherd chief will meet me, and the hunger that I have in my heart all through life will be satisfied. Sometimes he makes the love rope into a whip, but afterwards he gives a staff to lean upon. He spreads a table before me with all kinds of foods. He put his hand upon my head, and all the tired is gone. My cup he fills till it runs over. What I tell is true. I lie not. These roads that are away ahead will stay with me through this life and after. And afterwards, I will go to live in the big teepee and sit down with the shepherd chief forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, not because we have to, but because we are grateful, let us return to God what is ours to share. Today, there are offering plates in the narthex, and your gifts can also be accepted by mail. Let us joyfully offer our time, our treasure, our commitment, and our prayers to serve the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we offer to you only a portion of what you have given us. All that we have is from your creative hand. All that we can give away, we do through Jesus' love. All our renewal comes from the Holy Spirit's wisdom. Deal graciously with these gifts so that others may have joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is born.
Please be seated. I see several cherubs in our congregation this morning, and I know that there are others watching wherever you are, in a park, in your home, or wherever you are joining us in worship. Welcome. I'd like to speak to those children. Children, what do I have here? Can you see it? It's a list. It's a list of things that I have to do today. And it's most of them. It doesn't include all of them. Today is a busy, busy day. And have you ever written a list? Or have you ever had mom or dad or grandmom or grandpa make a list for you? Sometimes we write lists before we go to the grocery store. I always do, because I don't want to forget an important thing that I'm supposed to bring home from the store. And sometimes, like my list today, we write to-do lists so that we'll stay on target and make sure we get everything done that we're supposed to be doing that day. Can you think of other kinds of lists that you might have made? Well, I don't know about you, but when I was your age, I always had a list of what I wanted for my birthday. And it would usually be a long, long list. One year, I wanted a fuzzy blanket and a bicycle. And then I kind of tossed in a toy so that when I'm bored and I don't have anything to do, I can play with my toy and stay entertained. I thought of these lists when I was reading our International Children's Bible version of our psalm this morning, Psalm 23. It says in children's language, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He gives me rest in green pastures. He leads me to calm water. He gives me new strength for the good of his name. He leads me on paths that are right, even if I walk through a very dark valley. I will not be afraid because God is with me." Did you hear that? Did you hear what I said, boys and girls? The Lord is our shepherd. That means we are his lambs. He will make sure that we have everything we need. Now, it doesn't say he'll make sure we have everything we want, does it? So, let's pray and let God know that we are thankful that God provides everything we need. Dear Jesus, we are so thankful that you love and care for us, making sure we have all we need and that you are with us even when life is difficult. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning is from John 10, verses 11 through 18, and I read from the New International Version. "I am the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not out of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. These are the words that John brings to us, spoken by our Lord. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal your radical, surprising love. Come to us through your holy word, and let us hear what you are saying. Amen. Let us pray once again. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is a joy to be back with you. It's been a while since I have worshiped with you, and I always look forward to coming back to Lufkin and seeing my old friends. Not that you're old, but, you know, old friends are the best friends, right? So, when I was studying our scripture today in preparation for this message, a multitude of songs came to my mind. I have an extraordinary appreciation for music as I go about my day, and even when I wake up in the morning, I have a song humming in my mind, streaming through. And sometimes you would even find me whistling a tune. Unfortunately, God did not give me a voice that is pleasing to sing. So to spare you any distress, I won't do that. I will instead share my words and share the words of the Lord through my, what I call my preaching voice. Preaching because since I saw you last, I have been commissioned as a commissioned ruling elder. C-R-E-ching, preaching. Along the way, you might occasionally recognize the lines or the title of a song as I go about speaking. But think about it. When you think of music, can you ever think of more beautiful music than that of Jesus Christ and John in Psalm 23 and John 10. King David wrote Psalm 23. Their voices cannot be surpassed. We're still in that season of Eastertide. It's easy to forget that Easter doesn't end on that one day when we have filled our Easter baskets with eggs and we have Easter lilies throughout the sanctuary and we've donned our brand new clothes for Easter Sunday. In truth, we're in the fourth week of Easter. That time between Jesus' resurrection and ascension, when he returns for a few more lessons for his disciples. We've all been visiting with a friend or leaving a family reunion and saying our goodbyes, and then someone says, "Hey, wait, I just want to say one more thing." And I think that that's what Jesus was doing during this season of Eastertide. There were more lessons that he wanted for us. This morning, our long and winding road begins much earlier, though, than that. We begin in Israel, where shepherds and sheep are essential guardians of the economy, and they're watching over their sheep. Sheep are needed for wool, milk for drinking, and for making cheese, and for meat. And later, in John's gospel, when Jesus speaks of shepherds and sheep, he's speaking to the people, unlike most of you and I, who have everyday experiences with lambs and sheep and goats and kids. even if they make their livelihood as carpenters or fishermen, they know what's going on with the shepherds and the sheep. They see them all the time. All of Jesus' friends and followers grow up telling and retelling the story of Moses and the flight out of Egypt. Each year they hear a call to take a lamb for each family. That's in Exodus 12. And to prepare for the Passover meal. And in our Old Testament, the kings of Israel and Judah are called shepherds. Throughout the 23rd Psalm and John's Gospel, King David and Jesus show us just how important is the good shepherd and warn us that not all shepherds are good. Jesus says in today's text, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is hired hand and not a shepherd, who doesn't own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and they scatter and they're no longer a flock. He doesn't usually care about the sheep. He's usually more interested in his own well-being, and so he runs away. Unfortunately, I know very little about shepherds. So what does a good shepherd look like? Jesus often speaks in parables and metaphors. So I'm going to follow Jesus' lead this morning. We might compare good and bad shepherds with good and bad doctors. Now, I know we have doctors among us, and I'm not speaking of bad doctors here. We know we're all good doctors. We might compare good and bad sheep with those good and bad doctors. And when we look around, we know we have good doctors. Perhaps you have tuned in to the drama series, The Good Doctor, that centers on Dr. Sean Murphy, a brilliant physician who has autism and savant syndrome. Having a 15-year-old granddaughter, Alina, who is adopted from Romania, from Moldova, excuse me, who has autism, that is very close to my heart. So I tune in fairly regularly to see. I watch the series with special interest. Doctors and patients alike expect Dr. Sean Murphy to have a gentle, caring, bedside manner, tender manner. But that's not Sean Murphy. He has little to no eye contact and speaks with very little inflection in his voice. But colleagues and patients who know him have deep, deep confidence in his medical acuity. He is a competent shepherd whose sheep, like real sheep, recognize his singular, undeniable voice and come only when he calls, whether early in the morning or on the night shift, and and keeps the sheep safe from the wolves in the medical arena. The bond is undeniable. But Jesus does even more than Dr. Murphy. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for sheep." Jesus is the good doctor. A bad shepherd, on the other hand, is a thief or a scam artist who doesn't care for the sheep and whom the sheep refuse to follow. I think it's fair to say that even here in beautiful rural East Texas, most of us don't have much experience with sheep, although I felt like I was busted on Thursday night when I saw on the news that in your Lufkin rodeo, the youth were riding sheep. So somebody around here knows about sheep. Those of us who have never tended or herded sheep tend to view them as fluffy, affectionate creatures. I remember as I traveled the roads of England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland, looking out through the windows, gazing at the hills, I always saw white, fluffy sheep peacefully grazing on the green, green grass of home along the hillside. Word has it that sheep can be fluffy, fuzzy, and affectionate. They are also known to be stinky, stubborn, passive, easily startled, always hungry, and prone to wander. Sheep can be maddening. Sometimes they can find a hole in a fence and get out of the pasture, but can never find the hole to get back in. On the other hand, and we've known that they will take their flock over a cliff that one sheep goes and the others follow. On the other hand, Barbara Brown Taylor, who is an Episcopal priest and spiritual writer, says sheep are also intelligent because of their ability to pick out their own shepherd's voice. In our Reformed heritage, John's image of the Good Shepherd and his sheep is captured in the deeply relational notion of covenant, a deep camaraderie that we willingly take risks to, in times of danger, and to bring solidarity with others. It's like the covenants between Noah and God, and between God and the descendants of Abraham. Both involve deeply relational patterns of life in which God willingly enters into the darkest valleys to offer to liberate and redeem. That pattern of life is unlike one we're familiar with in today's society. The contract, which is more like the relationship between the hired shepherd and the sheep. So what are Jesus and David telling us this morning in this scripture? While this relationship between sheep and shepherd is foreign to most of us, not all of us, it is not to Jesus' original audience. They understand many flocks of sheep with their own shepherds are often brought together to stay in the safety of a common sheepfold. In Scripture, we see that sometimes disciples are sheep, listening to Jesus' voice and following God's lead. At other times, we see that the disciples are shepherds, speaking God's message to others. They teach, care for Jesus' flocks, and bring others into the fold. As in the lives of Jesus' disciples, sometimes we too are the sheep. We are selfish, stubborn, prone to wander, always hungry to get our own way, and yes, at sometimes even stinky Christians. But we are also intelligent. We listen for that voice of our Savior and recognize His voice as our shepherd to follow. At other times, we are the shepherds. We reach out, we feed, and protect the vulnerable. Healthcare providers and volunteers and scientists are acting as shepherds every day during this COVID pandemic, vaccinating millions of us each day to prevent the spread of that virus. But they are also sheep. They need our support, our hands, our prayers, to just keep on keeping on in these difficult times. Presbyterian theologian William Barclay says, there's a lesson for us here. Whether as sheep or shepherds, it is not enough to go through the motion as Christians. Christ wants more than lip service. He wants our hearts on fire, not lukewarm. Would we want a lukewarm doctor or pastor or mail carrier? No way. Christ calls us in ways great and small to proclaim the good news of the salvation available through him. Barclay says we have a choice. We can follow Jesus, or we can choose to follow the uncaring. If we choose to follow Jesus, we will be safe and secure both in life and in death. Now, we know it's not always easy to live in these times when we are faced with so many difficult choices and heartbreaking realities and challenging situations. We walk through those dark valleys too. But when we understand Jesus as the Good Shepherd, leading us to safe pastures, we know that it is possible to do that hard work that is required of us, to travel sometimes hard journey and live out our faith. For example, to do the right things during this pandemic, to educate our children in a way that they will not be left behind because of the changes they have been through, to fight for racial justice, to give food and other support to those in need, even the stinky. Jesus even calls us to nurture unaccompanied minors who come across our borders. Perhaps you saw in the news recently where a Guatemalan father spent all of his money to send his young son across the border. As a result of climate change, Guatemala has been in drought for 2 seasons. They do not even have the corn and the beans that they usually have to survive on. Children are starving. Some 12-year-olds are the size of 6-year-olds. This story, too, is personal to me. My other granddaughter, 14-year-old Nora, is adopted from Guatemala. This could be my Nora. Along with tears for this Guatemalan lamb and his family, the song, The Shepherd and the Lamb, challenges us. Hear the first verse. A little lamb went wandering. Its path grew dark and cold. The lamb was lost, fearful, cried in longing for its fold. Be glad to know a shepherd true who loved that little lamb, searched high and low, each rock and hole, and found and carried it home. Sing alleluia, alleluia. He found and carried him home. Like shepherds on the hillside, there is also a very special way that Christ the Good Shepherd speaks to each of us. But we have to listen carefully, intently, passionately, to recognize that voice from Jesus, to know what we are called to do. That voice comes in many ways. It comes through scripture. It comes through prayer, through poetry, through music, through worship, through intuition. When God speaks to us quietly through our intuition, or when we are peering in the eyes of someone in need. This morning, ask yourself this question: am I a shepherd or am I a sheep? Hopefully, the answer is both. Both are indispensable in God's flock. The shepherd protects, the shepherd companions, the shepherd nourishes and feeds. The shepherd sets a table of welcome and hospitality in the difficult places of life. Good shepherding happens when we parent. It happens when we care for a sick friend or parent or spouse. But a good shepherd also looks inward to take care of himself, because only healthy, alive shepherds can serve our Lord. As a sheep, have you ever had someone guide you in life? Has someone ever set a table for you and welcomed you, fed and nourished your soul? Have you ever had someone walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death? Have you ever had someone say or do just the right thing that revived your soul when you just couldn't do it for yourself? In my life, those times are far too many to count. This is who you are. We are good shepherds and trusting sheep with one another, whether red or yellow or black or white or however different we may be. God is with us. Will we make mistakes and misstakes? Well, of course, we're human. The bottom line is this, though. The ultimate good shepherd will never leave us. He will search and find us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, as Jesus Christ showed his wounded hands and feet to the terrified apostles, reveal to your church and to us and to people of every faith the wounds of our neighbors, the fears of individuals and families, and the avenues toward healing. Author of life, we beg for peace among nations, peace throughout communities, peace within families. Guide our leaders, our voters, our legislators, our parliaments, or around the world in ways that all creatures, plants, and people have plenty. Light in our darkness, let your brightness shine in places shrouded in violence, fear, racism, mental distress, and pain. Help us to be partners in healing. Lord, be with our educators and our COVID generation who are experiencing higher levels of depression, anxiety, and delays as they negotiate learning in this pandemic, and who we know face exponential challenges if living in poverty or with unsupported families. Help us to help them. Be with this church family as they seek the new pastor you have chosen to lead them in sharing your word, the goodness and healing to others. You command us to bring to you our deepest desires, O God, and we pray silently now for a moment for those persons and concerns that lie on our hearts. Trusting in your abundant mercy, O God, we commend into your care all for whom we pray and our own lives through Jesus Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand if you are able as we profess what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our closing hymn is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, number 379.
The Word of God assures us what we will be has not yet been revealed. Live, therefore, with hope. Share your joy. Withhold your anger. Shed your disappointments. Turn to all people with gentleness. May the Lord bless you and keep you, shine upon you with grace and mercy, and give you what is needed for each new day. Amen.